journey. And if this is your first time, what the season three is about God, who God is. And Inadeva is constantly seeing great changes in our lives. It's great for us to come together and say, you know, I want to anchor my faith upon this reality of God. You know, sometimes when we try to describe something, we use a comparison. Back in the day when the automobile came out, they would say things like horseless carriage, or they would say horsepower. And it was taking something that is known to help somebody that knows nothing about that to be able to process it in terms that they can understand. You know, when it comes to God, nobody is like God. Nobody compares to God. He is incomparable. So it's very difficult for us to take something that we know even and express God in terms that we know. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? You know, how can you compare God? What could you say about something else and say this is somewhat like God? I was traveling in Florida with my family, and I stopped to talk to a man about God. And we were at a beautiful beach there in Florida, and he said to me, he said, if you can tell me about God in a way that I can understand, I will believe in God. And it kind of made me stop and think, like, how do I help him to understand who God is? And I looked down at our feet, and there was an ant there at our feet, and I pointed at the ant, and I said, you know, can that ant tell you everything there is to know about me? And he obviously said no. And I said, nor can I tell you everything there is to know about God. We are so far below God that God to us is just incomparable to anything that we can understand. In this chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, where I just read that verse, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One, there is some great descriptiveness about God in terms that maybe would help us a little bit today to understand the incomparable God. And first of all, about God, God is bigger than all. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. You know, when I was a child, I had a waterbed. And, you know, you don't just move a waterbed. You can move a bed, but not a waterbed. It's full of incredible weight. Water is very heavy. But the Bible says about God that he can take all the waters that are on this earth and he can put them into the hollow of his hand. And then it speaks about the span of God's hand. It says, meted out heaven with a span. I've got pretty big hands, and my dad has big hands. My dad's a good pianist, and it's important to have, you know, a big span of your hand to be able to play the piano well. But the Bible says that God meted out heaven with a span, that in the span of God's hand, he can hold the universe. I did a little research online and found out that the observable universe is 46 billion light years. That means this: traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second for 46 billion years. That's how far the universe is. And the Bible says about God, God just holds that in the span of his hand. It speaks about the dust of the earth in measure and weighing the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the earth and its rotation, but the surface of the earth is moving at a speed, they say, of around 1,000 miles per hour. And you just wonder why it doesn't get off balance. You know, I've got to go balance the tires on my vehicle to make them rotate smoothly and not cause vibrations. But the Bible says that God did all that. Why? Because God is bigger than all. And then we see in Isaiah 40 as well that he is smarter than all. He's smarter than all. It says in verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? You know, who is God's teacher? My children are just getting to that age where they're learning how to drive. And it's very interesting as parents, you know, getting in the car with your child for the first time and teaching them. And you get this thing called an L plate that you put on the front and the back of your car. That's kind of a warning to other drivers to look out and to watch out. But it's because somebody is learning. And for somebody to learn, they have to be taught. And you think about it, almost everything that we know is learned. We begin learning by observation. You know, that child just fixated on his mom or dad's face and watching their mouth move as that child learns to speak. We have schools and that educate our children. The children are taught manners and how to interact and act in different situations in life. We have church that gives religious instruction and things like that. And we just have to constantly be taking in knowledge. But, you know, God is smarter than all. Nobody instructs God. Not politicians, not atheists, not evolutionists. Certainly not any man is giving any instruction to God. And so he is bigger than all. He's smarter than all. And then Isaiah 40 again, he is greater than all. It says in verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God just looks at it. It's all a very small thing. In fact, the Bible speaks about the earth being God's footstool to God. You know, and you may remember your first time going up in an airplane, and you get there and you look out that window and you look down and you begin to see the little roads and the farm fields that are laid out, and all the little details of our life, and life seems so big and so real until you get up in a plane and you look down on it and you begin to say with David, King David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" We're just something very, very small. In fact, in this verse, it speaks about us being like grasshoppers. When I was a kid, I would use grasshoppers for fishing. You know, I'd hook them on the hook. Kind of sounds kind of cruel, but put them out there to catch some fish. In some cultures, they eat grasshoppers. It's a staple food for them. But certainly there's nowhere in the world where grasshopper tells a human what to do or somehow controls a human. And nor do we control God in any way. To us, it's not that God doesn't care about us. He's not saying that, but we're just like a grasshopper would be to us, is how we are to God, because God is greater than all. And then he is over all. He is over all. God is sovereign. God rules over everything. The Bible says again in Isaiah 40 verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And now, praise God for government. God's established government. But you've got government. You've got judges. And you've got these world powers. But to God, it's like when I was a kid, and I would clean out the bird cage, and I'd take the seeds that were in there, the bird seed, and I would blow across the top of it, and I would take all those unwanted, just broken kernels, the chaff, and I would blow upon it, and it would be gone. And the Bible says that God is like that when it comes to this earth, that it's nothing for God, just blow upon it. If you'd like to read the end of the story about what's going to happen in the last days of this world, will ultimately rebel against God. Revelation says very clearly how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again and how he's going to put down that rebellion by his almighty power, and that the best efforts that men could muster against God is nothing. Why? Because he is over all. And then the last thing I want to point out from Isaiah chapter 40 is that he sustains all. He sustains everything. It says, lift up your eyes on high. It's saying, look up at the stars and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And you might stop and think and say, not one faileth. Wait a second. I've seen a falling star before, but you understand that what we're looking at when we see that is a meteor. It's just a piece of dust. It's just a rock, a space rock that is coming through the atmosphere. That in reality, that those stars that are up there, they do not fail. They are sustained by God. But again, I was curious and I looked online, and in the Milky Way, there's 100,000 million stars. That's just in our galaxy. And yet they say there are millions of galaxies. And the Bible says about God that God not only sustains them, but God identifies them and calls them all by name. Wow. God is incomparable. He's bigger than all. He's smarter than all. He's greater than all. He is over all. He sustains all. And you know, today, if I stop and think about it, that God desires to be my God. That God desires to care for me as puny as I am and insignificant as I am, so much so that his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away the wrath of God against my sin and with his shed blood to cleanse me of my sin if I, by faith, will believe in him. And having believed in him, God gives me the opportunity to be his child. Verse 11 of Isaiah 40 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. This great God, this God that is over all, that could just snuff out the life of man, desires today to be a caring God to you. You might have a problem. You think, boy, I've got a big problem, financial, emotional, physical, whatever that problem might be. I just encourage you, God is greater. God is greater than all. And God is willing to make you strong by his strength. Again, in Isaiah 40, verse 29, it says, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you fainting today? Are you discouraged in your heart, your mind? You need not be. There's a God. He's an incomparable God. And he's there, and he's willing to be your God if you'll let him. Let's pray. Father, I praise you for the grace that you give. I thank you for these precious truths about you. We don't even know how to describe you. You're indescribable because you're incomparable. There's nothing in life that compares to you. And Father, I pray for that person today that in their heart, they just know they're at the end of their rope, Lord, they physically, emotionally, maybe spiritually. Father, I pray that they know that there's a God that is almighty, that is incredible, that's willing to meet their needs. And Father, I pray that they know in their heart that Jesus Christ died for them and that he rose from the dead. And God, that you can give them everlasting life and that you'll change their life by your great grace. And Father, for those that are believers, I just pray, remind them today of your faithfulness, that you're there, that you're able, that you're capable, that you're not despairing about anything in life, because you're the incomparable God. And we praise your name. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord willing, 9:30 on Thursday, we'll be back with another live stream. And every Tuesday and Thursday at 9:30, we hope to see you here. Thank you for joining us.